talking with Border Patrol personnel and Maricopa County Sheriff deputies who I know. They have documented proof that these children who are being brought across the border are being recycled to accompany other adults each time they come through. But once that adult is identified being with that child, then that adult gets a free pass. Who authored that legislation? Snuck that in there? Some staffer for some congressman, senator, someplace snuck that in. I want that SOB. I want him. I want his name on the front page of the New York Times. I want him on Fox News. I want him everywhere, that this is the guy responsible for the abuse of children.
Get the best priced and most bioavailable TA65 telomere lengthening product on the market, the BioEnhance TA65. Being that TA65 has been proven to lengthen human telomeres, it has historically been priced at thousands of dollars and out of reach for most people. But this new low-dose formulation with up to 50 times better absorption now makes it a realistic option for those seeking the telomere lengthening benefits of TA65. At only $100 per bottle, it is now more affordable than ever at the lowest price seen in the market. Buy today with confidence with the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Mike Harris coming back on, and I really enjoy having him on. He tells it like it is. He's not into the PC. Some of these topics, you have to talk about some things that people don't like to hear. And so I wanted to come on and just tell it like it is. And so we're going to talk about the border, and we're going to talk about the weaponization of the PC culture and how that's hurting us at the border. We're also going to talk about that human trafficking legislation that just came through. It's awful. And I'm going to read this for you. Okay, listen to this. This is Section 224 that was written into the legislation, and we're going to talk about it more during this interview. It reads, "None of the funds provided by this act or any other act may be used by the Secretary of Homeland Security to place in detention, remove, refer for a decision whether to initiate removal proceedings or initiate removal proceedings against a sponsor, potential sponsor, or member of a household of a sponsor," kind of gets wordy here, "or potential sponsor of an unaccompanied child." This is a huge gaping hole for human trafficking. And that's what we're going to talk about here. And then we're going to get into the other weaponization of people's good virtues in this country and how that's hurting our country. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Red Dawn military invasion, but we're going to dive into that deep for my patrons. And he's going to give his view of that and what's really going on. He thinks we're in a pretty critical time in the United States. And so he's going to talk to my patrons a little bit about the Red Dawn invasion, and you can get that on my Patreon channel. The link is below. So let's get into my interview now with Mike Harris. Hi, Mike. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for inviting me again. I appreciate it.
We have a really important topic to talk about, and it's the immigration at the border wall. And I want to first bring up the legislation that is a huge human trafficking gaping hole in the legislation, the unaccompanied minor deal. And my understanding is a lot of the people at the border is using this loophole to get through, and it's inviting human trafficking. Can you talk about that legislation a little bit?
Well, you know, the legislation was written into this issue that, oh God, it's the question I have about the legislation is, number one, who wrote it? And number two, why did any Republican sign on to it?
Any Whoever Republican? I'm saying anyone in Congress sign it.
Anyone,
go ahead.
Exactly. Anyone in Congress, especially Republicans. Democrats, I equate to being treasonous at this point in time, or the majority of them anyway, because of the actions of a few. I'm generalizing, but I watch Fox News and they get me stirred up and all this kind of stuff. So I do react to it. I shouldn't paint all Democrats with such a broad brush.
Well, but I think any thinking human being that understands that this is a gaping hole for human trafficking, at some point they have to have the courage to not flip and vote for this legislation.
Exactly. Now here's what I know. You know, I'm in Arizona. I'm in the Phoenix area. I'm 180 miles from the border. Talking with Border Patrol personnel and Maricopa County Sheriff deputies who I know. They have documented proof that these children who are being brought across the border are being recycled to accompany other adults each time they come through. This is documented now. Now, with the law on the books, it makes no provision for having a round-trip child who's making multiple trips, bringing, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, who knows how many adults with them. But once that adult is identified being with that child, then that adult gets a free pass. There's something wrong with that. That is a gaping hole. And anybody who signed that legislation needs to be taken to account on it. And this includes our president, Donald J. Trump. You know, this was a mistake. That alone should have, you know, disqualified the entire legislation, and the shutdown should have went on another 35 days or 95 days, whatever it took to get something that made sense for the people of the United States, which is where the responsibility lies.
And the people in the United States and those children being trafficked.
That's another entirely despicable issue here, because you know, these children, you know, young girls and young boys who are being sold into the sex trade. This is horrendous. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. You know, if you look at the life expectancy of a child who is sex trafficked, it's somewhere between 3 and 5 years, and they're dead. They're done. They're gone.
Yeah, they just use them up and whatever.
They use them up, and you know, when they're no longer attractive, when they're no longer viable, when they're sick, when they're diseased, they just disappear, and they're never seen again. And this is despicable. This is the American ethics. The American the zeitgeist of the American people is better than that. And for these people who have allowed this piece of legislation, this loophole in legislation, to get through, pick up the phone and, you know, bend the ear of some staffer for every Republican and senator and even the White House who signed this, because this cannot stand. This is lowlife who put this in. And my original question was, who authored that legislation?
Exactly.
Who snuck that in there? Some staffer for some congressman, senator, someplace snuck that in. I want that SOB. I want him. I want his name on the front page of the New York Times. I want him on Fox News. I want him everywhere, that this is the guy responsible for the abuse of children. And that's exactly what it is.
And they need to do an emergency shutdown and put a new bill through right away without this in it. Period. End of story.
Well,
I
don't know what the mechanism is for an emergency shutdown, but there are some tools that President Trump has if he chooses to use them. And one of them that I don't like, it scares the heck out of me, is the issue of martial law on the border. And, you know, I sent you a copy of my article from Veterans Today. I originally wrote it in 2011. Because it was timely then, and I republished it in January of 2018, because it's timely now. And in fact, the situation has gotten so much worse.
Well, just to say that it's gotten so much worse, and I want you to continue, but when Obama was in office, they had something like 60,000 people coming through the border. That was the highest we ever had, and he declared it to be an emergency. Last month, we were at 72,000.
Let me correct you on that.
Oh, is it worse than I thought?
60,000 apprehensions.
Oh, okay.
Apprehensions. Okay. Yeah. Now, the key on this, talking to Border Patrol agents, they're guesstimating, they're catching between 1 in 5 and 1 in 8. They don't have an exact number. So if the number is 60,000, multiply it by 5 are getting through, or multiply it by 8, they don't know. They're guessing. So it's well above the numbers that you're hearing, but that's merely apprehensions. And then they're apprehended, and we have the catch and release. They're only allowed to detain them for X amount of time. Then they release them into the population in the border states where I live. I mean, if you were here in Phoenix, I could drive you down to the bus station, here in Phoenix. I could drive you down to the bus station in Tucson where Greyhound is, and you're not going to hear much English down there, I promise. It's going to be all illegals traveling.
With the world being so crazy, I have two great gift ideas to help you and your family stay safe. First, the Shockwave Torch. This tiny tool drops a 260-pound thug in 2 seconds. It packs so much power in such a small package, it's scary. Thank God it's got a safety on it. If you want to stay safe in a dangerous world, I promise the Shockwave Torch will help. You can also get, as an additional item, this combo pack. It's an ultra-powerful police-grade 18% pepper spray with an ultra-discreet 3-million-volt stun gun. I am getting these for every one of the women in my family. I believe we should all be carrying this for self-defense. And with gun laws becoming stricter than ever, what a great option for women in your family or even men in your family to be safe. With purchase of any other item, you can get this for only $29. So click the links below to find out more information.
And I want to get to the crux of this because it's not only Mexicans, but now we got people coming in from all over the place. We actually, a report that I have is there's 100,000 Syrians on the Indian reservation. I mean, there's all sorts of things going on. But, and that I heard from an inside source, I'm pretty sure it's accurate. But getting to the point of all this, we have pressures for wanting to keep illegal immigration happening because of the Mexican government. And then we have pressures because of the CIA and U.S. government wanting to keep it and cheap labor and all these things, you know, drug trafficking. It brings in a lot of money for Mexico. But there's a bigger problem here, and that's the globalist agenda to destabilize our country. And it's bigger than all the things that people are talking about. Can you talk to that major issue?
Well, yes, I can. Now, do you remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, they were talking about dissolving the borders and making Mexico, United States, and Canada into a Central North American unit, a part of the global, globalist agenda? They're going to have a new currency. It was going to be called the Amero. And they've never taken their eye off that ball. They still want that. That's still active. They're still pursuing it. The United States, with our Republican form of constitutional government, is the main impediment to stopping that right now. Russia is also another main impediment for stopping it. Russia's not going to go down easy. China may or may not buy in, I don't know. But the globalist agenda is what it's about. The banking system is the glue that holds the globalist agenda together, which is why I'm so enthused that the SWIFT system now has a competitor with BRICS. China is bringing up their gold exchange. There's a number of countermeasures that are happening for the countries that are resisting the globalist agenda. And don't be mistaken. When we talk about globalism, we're talking about communism wrapped in a capitalist blanket. It's disguised as capitalist. It's a, you know, we're all going to have this interchange. We're all going to have this trade, commerce, all of this stuff. Don't fool yourself. This is still the global communist agenda, using the banking system and using this disguise to inflict it upon us.
And what are you seeing the communist globalist agenda being? Like, what do you, in a couple decades from now, what is their goal? What do you think their goal is?
One world government. With a very, very few, I hate to use the term elites because there's nothing elite about them. They are the cream of the lowlife. But no one's come up with another word to call them other than the elites. So there's going to be a ruling class, this oligarchy at the top, who's still going to control all the money. They're still going to control all the resources. But the rest of us, the American middle class, will be destroyed. We're going to be on the same footing as the Chinese factory workers who are jumping out of the window at the Apple factory because they're committing suicide because they work too hard. That is what they have in store for us. They want a global working class that is their obedient servant, that takes what they give, period. They don't want any talk. They don't want any pushback. They don't want any resistance. They want complete control. And then you look at the advances that have been made with computing, the internet, surveillance cameras, spy satellites, intercepts of your cell phone conversations, Facebook, social media, all of these things where we have handed control to them. The FICO score, you talk about something that's going to make you obedient. Your FICO score will make you into the most obedient servant there ever was, because if you don't have an 800 or above, you're going to pay double the interest rate on that new car you want to have or that house than someone who does. So the more obedient but they're going to expand this from not just how you pay your bills, but to how you behave, what your viewpoints are. If you disagree with the official narrative, many of us are going to be ostracized. And the Chinese social credit system, you know, don't kid yourself, it's already developed. It's already being implemented.
Sure is.
It's already sneaking its way in, to your life. Airbnb uses something called a trustworthiness score. So it's like a credit score, but are you trustworthy? Can they trust you to come into their rental home? Are you going to vandalize? Are you not going to vandalize it? Well, pretty soon rental car companies are going to be using the same type of scoring system. Other companies, this thing is going to expand, and it's the globalist agenda is to have complete control over the human population, period.
And it works because a lot of us want some way to make sure that we can trust people, because there's a lot of criminals and thieves out there. But once it gets widespread, it becomes it's a double-edged sword here.
Well, it is. And, there's what we're missing in our society is the voluntary willingness to be honorable and to treat people as if you're an honorable person. If I go to you and say, Sarah, can I borrow your car? Not only do I bring it back in good condition, but I filled up the gas tank because you were kind enough to lend it to me, and it's clean. That's how you return favors and things. But we don't live in that kind of world where what's happening to us is our individuality and our relationships with each other are being diluted. So that, our close friends, we don't have close friends, we don't have close family anymore in which to borrow things from. So we have to go to commercial sources to borrow a car, in this case, rent a car if you're in a different city or something. That it's changing. It's really sad, the trajectory that humanity is on right now. And I'm really hoping for reversals of this, that we do restore our sense of honor, that we take pride, say, well, yeah, I would, I'll tell you a story. When I first started my very first business back in 1983, I had to go out and borrow money from my what they call friends, family, and fools. So I went back and, my family's lived in Missouri for eight generations at a minimum. And so I went back. I've got cousins, I've got uncles, I've got great uncles, I've got people back there. I went back and saw every relative that I had a phone number for and borrowed as much money as I could. I raised $80,000. I promised to pay them back in 3 years at 8% interest. I didn't pay them back in 3 years with 8% interest. I paid them back in 9 months with a 20% return on their investment because it was the right thing to do and I could afford it. And my Uncle Bill, he's deceased now, but my Uncle Bill said, Mike, if you ever need to borrow any more money, come see me first. That's how you want people to think about you. I took a chance. I lent Mike money. Not only did he pay me back early, but he paid me back more than he said he would. And by golly, I'll be glad to lend him money again because he's trustworthy. That is what has been taken from us. The volunteerism of being a trustworthy person, being an honorable person is gone, and we're put into a box where we're forced to comply. It doesn't matter that the car you rent is a POS junker and the wheel falls off of it. They still want you to pay full price for it, and you're liable for anything that happens to it. Whereas if I did that from someone else, I said, boy, this that this car had a problem, you know, that the axle broke. So, oh yeah, I know I was having trouble with that. I want to talk to you about before you drove it off. You know, that's how you know, people will treat you, but businesses will not treat you that way.
No.
You know, they're here to gouge you. They're here to make a profit. They've got shareholders. Their only concern is return on investment.
They cram you through a McDonald's drive-thru, and if you don't fit, too bad.
Too bad. Too bad. Yeah. That's kind of it. It's one size fits all.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how smart you are, how honorable you are, how trustworthy you are, nothing. You know, you're going to get the same treatment as the guy who just got out of prison and probably be back in prison because he can't stop lying or stealing or whatever it is he does that got him there in the first place. But anyway, we're off topic about immigration. We're this is all the globalist agenda, and the globalist agenda is to do this. This is the global agenda to do this to the United States and destroy any of our individual autonomy and the sovereignty of our country, as well as everyone else on the planet.
Well, and I want to talk about how does this immigration, why do you think this is a move, a chess move in that game to go towards a globalist agenda? Why? Because a lot of people don't understand why this is not just because, you know, Mexico makes a lot of money when they send money back for their relatives, a drug trafficking trade, cheap labor. I mean, those are all the talking points. But this globalist agenda with all these immigrants seems like, because it doesn't make sense anymore. So go ahead.
Are you familiar with the doctrine written by Priven and Cloward?
No, but please explain it.
Okay, what it is it's the way to destroy a system is to overwhelm it. And whether it's welfare, whether it's immigration, whether it's, the DMV, you put more people through it than the system can accommodate and the system will collapse. And that is what we're seeing across the board. Now you look at immigration, this issue right now, it's being destroyed right now. We're having these mass caravans come across the border. And like I said, for every one they catch, there's a minimum of five that are getting through. When they're here, they're eligible for welfare, Section 8 housing, food stamps, all these benefits that were never intended for people who are not American citizens. Our laws are flawed that they can collect these things because we're compassionate, we're humane, we're generous. And what the globalists are doing is using our virtues to take us down. That's what's happening. And people need to remember that our virtues are being used as a weapon against us.
Exactly. Thank you. Kindness. Because that's what the Democrats, and I'm sorry because it's not really, I don't believe in left, right, but I see them weaponizing the virtues of these good people, and they do it constantly, and that's a big part of this.
Well, you can see it in the European countries. Look at Sweden, the most socialistic country there is, and they have inundated it with Muslims and Black Africans who don't fit, don't comply, but yet they're entitled to the same benefits as a native-born Swede is because of how the laws are written. It's Priven and Cloward. It is a doctrine to destroy the system by overtaxing it, overwhelming it, making it so that there isn't enough welfare to go around. There isn't enough medical care to go around. There isn't enough education. There are not enough seats in the schools to educate every kid. So nobody gets educated. Nobody gets treated. Nobody gets welfare. And it collapses up in upon itself. That is what they're doing. They're taking these noble, generous, kind, virtuous acts of the American people and the European people as well, and they're using it to destroy our culture and our system and our society. This is straight Marxist doctrine, Marxist all the way.
I think that is the crux of what we're seeing. And it's so easy to tug at the heartstrings of these people using that doctrine because it makes sense. And we all know somebody who came over who's a great person, but that's not what we're talking about. And so now we're at a complete lose-lose situation here where we could lose everything that we are about. So what are your thoughts on that? We have this wall going up, which you aren't really a big fan of. Can you talk about why you're not a fan? But it's kind of like you kind of are for a last minute resort, but Can you talk about it?
Well, you know, as we talked while we were hooking up the equipment and getting ready for this, you asked me about the wall, and I said I've never been a fan of the wall. Never. I didn't like the wall in East Berlin. I sure don't want a wall on the southern border, because what if the socialists and the Marxists take over and we can't get out?
I know. I think about that too. I'm like, well, God, it could be used against us.
What
But go
happens
ahead.
then? But if you look at what our first line of defense should be, is internal enforcement. Internal enforcement, not against the illegal aliens, but against those who hire them, the employers, the people who profit off of the cheap labor. That should be our first line of enforcement. The Simpson-Mazzoli Act, written in 1986, signed by Ronald Reagan, one of Reagan's great, great mistakes. I can't call it a faux pas. I can't call it a blunder. It was a screw up. It was, you know, the one of the dumbest things, one of Reagan's three dumbest things, I should say, that he did as president, that are blemishes on his otherwise pretty good record. And that was the Simpson-Mazzoli Act, because the one-time amnesty we were promised 800,000 people only would get it. 3.2 million people took advantage of the amnesty.
Well, that's where we learned that our numbers are way off. What, that was a 400% off.
400% error. That's a major error. But Simpson-Mazzoli Act has a provision in it that states any employer who hires an illegal alien is subject to a $3,000 fine and 6 months in prison. Okay? Never been enforced. Never, ever been enforced. There's a dodge around it, and the dodge is, well, I didn't know he was illegal. He had papers. So that's why it's not enforceable. That is why we need E-Verify to ensure that anyone who gets hired is eligible to work in this country legally. That is a major, major deal. See, the illegals come over here and they work for under the prevailing wage. All right. They work for cheaper. And that is why people aren't making enough money to sustain themselves to live. You know, if we only had our domestic workforce without importing illegal cheap labor, the wages would have risen to keep pace with what inflation has been. And when you think of inflation, don't think of prices going up. Think of the value of the dollar going down. It's because the dollar is becoming worth less, because of the malmanagement of the Federal Reserve.
Also, Mexico gets so much money sent back, and so there isn't an incentive to fix their own situation. There is, but not to that same degree.
There's another reason. You know, remittance is going back to Mexico. You know, in my Veterans Today article, I quoted $600 billion. That was back in 2011. If you look at Western Union alone, $156 billion in 2017, just Western Union, remitted back to Mexico, okay? Now, if that money was kept in the USA, every dollar that is paid out in payroll bounces around seven times in the community before it leaves. But if that $600 billion is going to Mexico, it's not bouncing around the US. The dry cleaners aren't seeing it. The movie theaters aren't seeing it. The retail stores, the restaurants, the car wash, they're not seeing that benefit of that money. Mexico is seeing the benefit of that money. So Mexico likes that a lot. The other thing Mexico likes is they have and have had notoriously a less than sterling reputation as being a law-abiding government. Their corruption is imminent. And if you look at the trial of El Chapo, who said he paid $100 million to the most recent previous president of Mexico, he also said he paid Nancy Pelosi $15 million. So,
well, it's lucky you even got that information. Not to cut you off, because I did a report on this, and I was on Dave Janin, and I talked all about this. People can listen to it. But one of the things that we discuss and is uncovered, and most Americans don't know this, is that in that court trial, they kept out all the U.S. data. Like, they would not allow any evidence on U.S. people into that.
El Chapo named names, and they closed the door and emptied the courtroom. They closed the door and emptied the courtroom. And they sealed those records so that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and other Democrats who are open border advocates did not have their names on the front page or on the news that night.
Or the Republicans who are traitors as well, who we would like to know who they are.
Republicans are as guilty as the Democrats. Certain ones, what was that speaker? What was his name? Rat Ryan, Paul Ryan. He is as dirty as they get. John McCain, Senator from Arizona, he is dirty as they get. Jeff Flake, dirty. These are dirty guys on a border state who are lining their pockets from the payoffs from the cartels. That's what they're doing. But the other benefit to Mexico is they get rid of their surplus non-productive population, their excess people. They don't have unemployment lines down there because they're all up here. You know, there are exceptions. You know, you mentioned your husband, his family, engineers, etc. But most of the illegals
My husband's family. But, just to give people an idea,
he's here legally.
Well, my husband's father was brought in by General Electric because he was a high level engineer and he was the best they had, and they needed him here, so they brought in his family. But all of my husband's families are advanced degrees, very great people. My husband's a U.S. citizen now. That's not what we're talking about.
But that's not what we're talking about. But the people who are coming here illegally, they're not sending doctors, lawyers, engineers, scientists, researchers. That's not what they're sending. They're sending the unemployable, the unskilled, the people who don't have a job, who don't know how to do anything, who are without skill. And they come up here and they lower our wages. And the people who are getting hurt the worst in our country, and this, I can't emphasize this enough, is what we call the permanent underclass. Illegal immigration has stopped upward mobility for people who are in the permanent underclass, the welfare class. They don't have a path to get out of the trap they're in anymore because illegal immigration keeps the wages so low that they can't survive. I mean, you hear all this Bernie Sanders talk. Well, we need a livable wage of a minimum of $15. All right, you're going to raise the wage to $15. Everybody will pay it. But you know what? Come back in 5 years, you're going to have the same problem. You're going to have Bernie and all the rest of them say, we need a livable wage of $25. That's not the problem. We need to get rid of the distortion that is caused by all of this illegal imported labor that doesn't belong in this country and allow our free market system to set the value of what labor is and give our permanent underclass their path into the middle class back, because it has been hijacked by the illegal aliens who are here depressing the wages. I cannot emphasize that enough. And I care more about our inner city blacks. I care more about our poor rural whites than I do about any Central or Mexican coming up here illegally. I care about our people first. It's like when the airlines, when you get on the airplane and they give you a little safety thing, it says, put your air mask on first if we depressurize, then help someone else. We got to help our own people first before we can help anybody else. And our people in this country are hurting. And the middle class has been decimated. The middle class has become the lower class now. And, you know, the drug problem, all of the homeless problems that we have, all of this can be remedied. And illegal immigration is making it all worse. They're acerbating problems we already have and making them just toxic.